Assalamualaikum everyone. Alright, so we'll go ahead and get started. I hope you guys enjoyed the exercise and got to learn about your peers and found new information about them. If not, I hope you guys learned some new people and new ways of communicating with each other. So hopefully you made new friends or are starting to and feel more comfortable with it. Right now we have Dr. Ali Zaini, who is going to speak to us. He's a Bronx School graduate. Father of four youths, so you can assume he knows us pretty well and the way we think and the way we are. So he is a father of four, and also he's going to be speaking to us about a topic called Iqra, and the name of the Lord, the Maker, using the names of Allah to read, understand, and explain life. So as you know, our theme this year for the youth conference is Gazing in the Mirror, Self-Reflection Through the Eyes of the Believer. This theme, it means to, you know, reflect on ourselves, our past, our present, and maybe even what we want to do in the future. So when you're listening to speakers that are coming here, like Dr. Almey, make sure you're paying attention to yourself and reflecting on yourself and how you can handle these situations and these topics, so that not only are you learning, but you're also learning a way to apply it to your life and the things that you're going through right now. So when you're paying, please pay a good special attention to him, and we'll go ahead and get started, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Go ahead. Hey guys, how did you find the MCA? Did you see what kind of weather? Do we have here? Yeah, awesome, huh? Oh, not? Oh, okay. Huh. Where did you guys come from? Oh, Seattle, it's gorgeous. Only nine months of rain a year. That's about it. Yeah. You can't walk anywhere without getting your pants wet. Right? You know, I mean, this is a lot of rain for me. All right. First, we start by saying, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him and bear witness that there's nobody except Him to be called Allah, to be treated the way we treat Him. No one can claim greatness except Him. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. Now, you guys are here so that you can have a better way, a better understanding of how can you read life. How can you what? Read life. What do you need to read? You need to read what? To read, you need glasses, right? Yeah, you actually only need eyes. But can you read without having glasses?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and you know, when you read a book, yeah, you can read it without glasses. However, this is not what happens in real life. When we read life, our eyes are tainted. And our eyes are colored by whatever glasses we're wearing. So if you wear glasses that don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you would be reading life in a totally different way than somebody who is wearing glasses that read in the names of Allah, or read a believer who believes in Allah will wear these glasses, will see things in a totally different way. You see what is right, to him is wrong. What is wrong, to him is right. You totally read things in a totally different way. So, the way many humans were trying to find a way to read life and deal with life. For example, some people deal with life using the temptation. Can you give me an example of temptations? Selfishness, huh? Greed, what else? Jealousy, what else?
Arrogance, ego,
What else? Huh? More temptations, hate. Love of power, you know, all these temptations, the evil temptations, all right, that we have inside us that will tempt us to be bad people. Some people read life, they wear these temptations, and that's what all what they are after is to satisfy their temptations and believe their temptations. And when they deal with life with the selfishness and greed, they take advantage of others. Say, how can I take advantage of you? How can I take advantage of you? How can I take advantage of you? How can I get away by as much as I can get away with? That's the way they deal with life. This is the way they plan their activities. This is the way they deal with life. This is the way they make decisions. This is the way they organize their time. This is the way they develop interests in life. They develop interests in life based on that. I am interested into taking advantage of you to the max that I can. That is the person who is wearing the glasses of selfishness in one lens, greed. Selfishness, greed. Selfishness, greed. Take advantage of you. That is one way of reading life. Another way of reading life is a person who says, this life is not the product of the maker. This life is a product of evolution. Evolution? Yeah, evolution. And that is the way he or she reads life. They put the glasses of evolution. And because they put the glasses of evolution, the glasses of Darwin, like this, evolution, evolution. So to him, everything is evolution. Nothing, everything evolves from lower species. And lower species evolve from lower species. And lower species evolve from lower species. I mean, come on, so where is the beginning? They don't view life as a product of Allah, and they don't view humans as descendants of Adam and Eve. No, evolution. And because they look at life using evolution, 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 what that leads to is that they think that some people, we were monkeys. They think that we were monkeys. Were you a monkey? Were you a monkey? Well, they say we are monkeys. Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. You are monkey? Yes. I am monkey? No. Yeah, you can talk only about yourself. Yeah, I mean, if you say you're monkey, we take your word for it. But I'm not, I didn't say I'm a monkey. So they say we are all developed from monkeys. And then they say, okay, some humans are more developed than than others. So they say, they use it as a way of racism. So they say, for example, just as an example, they say, white people are more developed from monkeys than black people. And this is why then when they make fun of black people, they draw monkey jumping trees. Why? They want to tell them, you're not developed much from a monkey. You're almost that close from a monkey, you didn't get much development. But we developed very far away from monkeys. And they use that to justify racism. See? Once you read glasses of evolution, then you start seeing something else. You go look into the mirror, oh, I am a monkey. You go look at this, oh, he's less developed than me. He's almost a monkey, but I am far away from monkey. And then they justify killing because he is more inferior. He's inferior to me. I am developed so I can kill him. He's an animal. He's very close to an animal. Huh? I mean, this theory has been used that caused a lot of wars and killing to justify killing. So now using these glasses, a lot of things can go wrong. Now, then what is the way that we should read life? To really know that, let's rewind a little bit into our Islamic history. There was a man that was living in the deserts of Arabia, which is Mecca. This man was born and grew up in a culture that is very corrupt culture. That they build their own objects, and they treat this object the way we treat God. They love the object the way we love God. They love the picture the way we love God. They treat the picture the way we treat God. They trust the object or the idol the way we trust Allah. They beg the idols of their needs the way we beg Allah of our needs. They ask the big idols to protect them the way we beg Allah to protect us. They treat them exactly the way we treat Allah. And then these idols and pictures. Not only that, but also they have Arabian lords. Arabian lords who walk like this, dragging behind them very long clothes, and think of themselves higher than everybody else. And they want to be treated like gods on earth. I am Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. Who are you? I am from the clan of al-Mughira. Where are you from? They want to be treated like gods on earth. Everybody is a lord having his own slaves, his own power, his own kingdom, being treated like gods on earth. And those benefit from the idols, because idols don't call for justice. Idols approve what they're doing. But Allah will never approve it. Allah will never let them live that way without saying, justice, 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 you need to be just, you need to be fair, you need to be treating. We're all equal. You need to be treating others the way you should be treated. Let others live in their house the way you should be left alone to live in your house, etc., etc. So they had a conflict of interest of justice, because they have to give up what they have taken unfairly from people. That was the corrupt culture that he lived in. Did he like that? No. How come others liked it, but he didn't? Because he had pure nature. He had what? Pure nature. I can see some screensavers. You know the screensaver of the computer? If you don't touch the mouse and the keyboard, it goes blank, right? This is what happens to the human brain. If you don't touch the mouse and the keyboard with your brain, it goes blank. Screensaver. And the more you stare at me, the more I know that you are in a screensaver mode. I can actually see the fish going through your glasses. Screensaver. So, touch the mouse, touch the keyboard. The best way to touch the mouse and the keyboard is for everyone to tickle his or her neighbor. Tickle her. All right. Tickle each other. All right. Here we go. Now everybody's awake. Yeah. I'll bring you Mr. Tickling Monster if you don't tickle each other. He will tickle you. So now, this man didn't like this because he has a pure nature. The nature that Allah created does not accept that. Why? Because Allah created a conscience, and this conscience says, yes, that's right, no, that's wrong. Yes, that's right, no, that's wrong. So he didn't like that. But, unfortunately, what was available around him wasn't, there's nothing available. There were no other information available. There's nothing other than that. So he started looking for the truth. When you see around him, he was surrounded by Christians and Jews. So he went to ask the Christians to know about them, what they believe, because he wanted to know Allah. So they told him, yes, Allah is in heaven. He said, oh, yeah, finally, somebody doesn't believe in pictures and objects. Okay, tell me more about what you think about Allah. They say, Allah was a man who came down in the form of a man and led a bunch of criminal thugs, real bad guys, awful gang, beat him up, and beat him up so hard, and beat him up so much, beat him up, beat him up, beat him up, beat him up, and humiliate him and hurt him really bad, and then kill him on a cross. Oh, excuse me, is that what you... That's a very low image of God. God is better than that. God can't be this. And then even when you look, they made a picture to worship also. They made a picture of a white, blonde Caucasian to worship, saying, this is God. God is blonde. God is white. This is, by the way, you would understand clearly why Islam doesn't like us to draw any pictures of prophets or any holy pictures, like something holy that we worship, or like we hold dear. Why? Because if Islam allows us, then we will end up worshiping an Arab-like image of God, right? You would have somebody who looks like Bin Laden, big turban, big beard, and then that would be saying, this is God, we worship him. By the way, I have seen an ignorant person debating with a Christian, an ignorant Muslim debating with a Christian. So, the Christian says, Jesus is the Son of God. And then the Muslim says, shut up. Muhammad is the Son of God. Yeah. Maybe we don't want you to end up that way. If you have no interest into learning, then you will end up just like that. All right. Now, this says, no. God has to be better than that. God can't be this. Then he went to the Jews, and he inquired, trying to know who is God to them. So they told him, God is in heaven. He said, yes, that's what I feel right. God is one. He said, yes, that's what I feel right. Otherwise, if we have two gods, they will not stop fighting. And the kingdom of one will end when the kingdom of the other starts. He said, yes, that's what I believe is right. Then they tell him, God forgets.
Huh?
God doesn't make mistakes. God makes mistakes.
Huh?
And then he learns from his mistakes.
What?
And what else? And then he's sometimes stingy. He doesn't want to spend. Why? Because he makes very few people rich and the majority of people poor.
What?
That's a very low image of him. Huh? If you go read the Bible, the story of Prophet Noah, for example, you see in the book of Genesis, you see that. That's the story in the Bible. Read it, and you will see exactly what I'm going to tell you. There, Noah,
Allah said, Noah,
I am going to drown everybody on earth, including you and the ones who believe in you.
Huh?
Noah said, what?
What do you mean?
So you're going to drown me and the good guys who believe in me?
He said, yes.
He said, why do you want to do that? He said, because I have created you once and you have done wicked. When I created Adam and Eve, his children became wicked like you see. I don't want to repeat the same mistake twice. I don't want to repeat the same what?
Mistake
twice. What? And therefore, if I let you live with the believers, then your children will go wicked again. And then here we go again. Everybody will be wicked. So I'm just finishing it all up. I'm drowning all of you. Then you started getting angry.
Why do you want to drown us? What have we done wrong? This is not fair.
And then he argued with him until he changed him, until he convinced him to
change his mind.
Huh? Isn't that a low image of God? Like make mistakes, learn from mistakes, change his mind. God has to be better than that. So he said, no, that's not God. Then who is God? Let me try to find God on my own. Then there was no Quran to know. Then he went, he said, I need to find God. How can I do that? How can I do that? How can I do that? Ha! Brilliant idea came. Came to his heart from Allah. What was that brilliant idea? He said, if I continue living among the people of Mecca with their corrupt culture, then this corrupt culture will influence my eyes and I will not be able to see things clearly. You know how you live when you live in a culture? The culture will influence your eyes, make you see things in a different way, will influence your hand, will make you take things in a different way. What you don't take in one culture, you take in another culture. What you do in one culture, you don't do in another culture. What you see in one culture, you don't see in another culture. So he said, no. This culture is going to influence my eyes, and I'm going to see things distorted. Then what else? The second thing that he noticed is that I want to know about the Creator from something that is related to him. Then, you know, by his nature, he knew that this life is a product of who? The Maker, right? This is product. Are you a product of Allah?
Yes.
The nature of Allah will reflect on you. Like, if, for example, if there is a good design, a product which is a good design, then what do you say about the Maker? He's dumb engineer?
No,
he has to be what? Smart creative engineer. If a product is a wicked lie, then the one behind this product is a criminal guy. So from the product, you can tell who is the Maker. You can't tell everything about the Maker, but you can tell something. So he said, this life is a product of who? Allah. So if I go and try to read life, I will learn about the Maker of the life, which is Allah. So he said, then how can I get rid of the influence of this corrupt culture? He said, yes. I go to a cave. I go to what? A cave. Isolate myself from the what? This corrupt culture. So my eyes will clear. Then the glasses of this culture, the pressure of this culture on me, on my brain, to see things in a different way, will go away with time. Now, I, just like the guy said, can I see without glasses?
Yes.
Yes. I can see things clearly, naturally. I can see things naturally. And that's the way Allah wants me to see things naturally. So he said, yeah, I can see things naturally. So he said, okay, what's the closest cave to this town? Is the cave of Hira, the cave of what? Hira. He said, let me go there and stay for long times, examining the nature, which is a product of Allah, and at the same time, freeing my mind from the pressure from this culture. He went to the cave of Hira. And he started thinking. You know, as usual, the girls are paying attention. They are interested. The boys are, but not all of them, of course. Some of them. You know, in my home, I have two boys and two girls. I can see the difference. Girls are far more interested and serious and mature than the boys, honestly, in the same age. Yep. Boys are all about video games and X-Men, Xbox, you know, that's all. You know, they can't, you know, probably these words will go over their head. Girls are deep thinkers. They think deeply. They are not shallow. They don't say, my nails, my dress, the color of my heart. No. Those are shallow people. Oh, the car, but they look deeply into things. They see beyond the cosmetic, the cover. They see deep. They analyze things deeply. Are you a shallow person or a deep person?
Deep.
Good. If you're deep, you would know what I'm talking about. So now, this person is in the cave by himself, crying. Ya Allah, I know you are the maker. I know you're different and better than what all those people are trying to explain to me. But who are you? What is your nature? I want to know you. I don't know you. I want to know you. Who are you? Tell me more about you. And he kept starving for the truth, until Allah willed to give him to answer his question. How? He was in the cave. In the evening, just imagine the picture, dum, with the music, dum, da, dum, dum, boom, boom. And then he's in the cave all by himself in the evening. And then when he was crying and starving to know about Allah, Ya Allah, who are you? Suddenly he saw a shadow of a big guy coming from behind him. He left, he looked around and he said, huh? This guy was, the clothes of the guy was so clean and he smelled good. You know, if you travel in Arabia, in the deserts of Arabia, you know how awful you smell? You will smell so bad that people in the other town will find out that they can smell you. And your clothes would be so dirty. Now this guy, was so clean and smells good. Huh? Whoa. Where did he come from? Did he land from heaven? It's not like flying United Airlines where you're nice and, you know, clean and smells good. No. It's flying Camel Airlines. But this guy looks like he came from the heaven using United Airlines. And then, was this big guy so clean, so shiny? Who are you? Then the guy didn't say, Assalamu alaikum Muhammad, my name is Jibreel, I come in from Allah to give you the revelations. No. He did it in a very unique way. How? He came, he walked in towards the person, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, can I get a volunteer? I get a volunteer. I want a volunteer from the boys. Come. Come to me. I'll tell you exactly. I am Angel Jibreel, and he is Muhammad. And this is exactly what happened. Look, he approached him like this, and he said,
squeeze!
And then let him go. He said, read! How hard was the squeezing? It was, the Prophet said, it was about to crush his bones. The Prophet said, I realized that I'm dying. The Prophet said, I was dying, literally dying. Then he left him. He said, read. this man doesn't know how to spell his name. Intentionally selected by Allah so that he doesn't know how to spell his name. It's an honor, it's a shame for everybody not to know how to spell their name, except for Prophet Muhammad. It's an honor, because that's one of the many, many, many evidence that prove that he's a prophet. Because Quran can't be the first product, the first publication of a man with no education. People go to journalism school. They go to kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, high school, college. Then they go work at a newspaper or whatever. They write the first publication. It's not good. They write the second publication. It's not good. They learn. And then after a while, they produce a decent publication. Prophet Muhammad, the illiterate, the one who doesn't know how to spell his name, gave us the Quran as the first publication. Quotes, publication. That is, I mean, if you believe in that, then I have a problem with your intelligence. You're probably not smart enough. Anyway, Allah chose him not to be able to spell his name. Yet, this guy, who knows him very well apparently, is telling him, read. He's not telling him recite. No. Recite in Arabic means utlu. Iqra is a perfectly understandable Arabic language that means read. Doesn't mean recite. Recite means utlu. So he said, read. I don't know how to read. Apparently the answer wasn't satisfactory to the angel. You don't know how to read? Okay. Very painful heart. Huh? Read! I don't know how to read. Not to mention, of course, reading what? There's nothing to read. I don't know how to read. Apparently the answer was acceptable or not acceptable? Not acceptable. Read! Ah, man, this guy's heavy. Read! I don't know how to read. No, actually, he didn't say that the third time. He figured out after two times that this answer is not the right answer. So he didn't want to get another one of those painful hugs. So he said, read what? Read what? Then the angel said, read in the name of your Lord, who is the maker. Read in the name of your Lord, the maker, the creator. Ah, what does this mean? Tell me, what do you think read means here? Let me pick your brains. Read. What does it mean, read? If somebody comes to you, non-Muslim guy comes to you and says, hey guys, are you Muslims? Yeah, we're Muslims. Okay, if you're Muslims, then you tell me, you know, about the story of your prophet, an angel walking into him in the cave, an angel. How many wings the angel had? Well, 10, 20, and then he's saying, read. What will read? What? Okay, you guys are saying nonsense. Explain to me, what does it mean? Read, huh? What does it mean? Read! Means what? Read what? What's the meaning of read? Read Quran, but there was no written Quran. If it was read Quran, then he would say recite! Utlu! He said, Iqra, read. Perfectly understand our Arabic language, that means only one thing, which is? Read. Doesn't mean anything else. Read what? Yes, the logical understanding is read and understand life using the names of Allah. Read life. I am going to read life. So how do I read life? I put glasses called, these glasses I bought from, are given to me by Allah. Gift. Sources of guidance are given to us as a gift from Allah, and they are pure, they are very clear. They don't have any, you know, nothing on them. They are not fuzzy or anything. I put them in my eyes, and they say, it says, read in the name of Allah. Read and understand life using the names of Allah. And by the way, here is your first name that you need to use to understand life. The first name is the Maker. So here is your first name to understand life, is the Maker. What do you mean the Maker? The Maker, it means that you, if Allah, nature, is not the Maker, you will not exist. The only reason you exist is because Allah is the maker. Because Allah is the maker, we exist. And this life exists. This is your first name. So this life is a product of evolution?
No.
We're monkeys?
No.
This life is a product of who?
Allah.
That is the first thing you need to know. That he's the maker. And if he is the maker sends the product with a manual. With a what?
Manual.
The manual that tells you how to use the device. How to use the product.
Did you ever try to run the VCR without manual?
Yeah. What happens if you try to use the VCR without manual? You're going to get toast bread and put it in there and say to the VCR, toast the bread! Yeah. That's what's going to happen to you if you don't read the manual. Okay? Did you ever try to toast bread in VCRs? Yep. Do you know that in this life a lot of people are trying to toast breads in VCRs because they didn't read the manual, which is Quran? Then they are toasting bread. They are doing no better, wallahi, they are doing no better than toasting bread in a VCR. That's exactly what they are doing. So, read and understand life in the name of the maker. The maker is the one who made the product, who's giving you a manual so that you know how to use this product. You can't just go on your own and toast a bread and the VCR. This is Allah the maker. And then, that also answers another question. Why did Allah create? Because he's the maker. He's the creator, right? That's his nature. That's his nature. That's who he is. He is nothing. He is the creator. His nature is the creator. He is the creator. So in order for him to be the creator, he has to create. Right? If he is the creator and he doesn't create, it means that either one, his name is false. Two, either one of the two. Either his name is false or his nature is useless. Do you accept somebody telling you that Allah's name is false or your nature is useless? No, we don't accept that. So that's why he creates. And that's one of the reasons of the creations. And of course there are many other reasons. If you collect all the verses in the Quran and Hadith that speaks about the reason, the purpose of life, you come up with a very full picture. It was expressed in so many different ways in the Quran. When you collect all of them together, you will get a big picture of why, what's the purpose of this life. We are created because Allah is the creator. Then, let me ask you another question. If he's the creator, then why didn't he just create trees? And then he would be the creator. Or create angels who don't spread corruption and shed blood. They don't kill one another. And they don't boom, bomb one another. They don't do that. They worship Allah like we breathe. You know how easy the angels worship Allah?
Take a breath.
Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. How easy it is to breathe. Easy. Naturally, right? This is how the angels worship Allah, naturally. This is how easy they worship Allah. Why? Because they are made for that. And they don't have to struggle with temptations, selfishness and greed. They don't have to be distracted by anything. They are not to be distracted away. They were created to worship Allah as easy as that. So if he is the maker, why doesn't he just make angels and, you know, stop all this corruption, you know, not create humans? Who knows the answer? Using the same concept. Using the same way of use, which is one of the names of Allah, to explain why did he create. Who can come up with another name of Allah that explains why didn't he create only trees and angels? Why did he create humans as well? Can you think of a name of Allah that wouldn't be true unless humans exist? Think. What name of Allah that applies only to humans? Huh? The forgiving, right? Al-Ghafoor, Takbir. Allahu Akbar, that's ayah. You, what did you say? Al-Ghafoor. Do angels need Al-Ghafoor? No. Do angels need forgiveness? No. Trees need forgiveness? No. Then the name, the forgiving, it's either the name forgiving is either useless or false. Is it appropriate for His Majesty to have a false name?
No.
Is it appropriate for His Majesty to have a useless name? No. Then there has to be humans. Allah in the Hadith al-Qudsi, he said, if you humans don't make mistakes and then make repentance and beg of me to forgive you, I will end your existence and bring another creation that will make mistakes, perform, do repentance and cry for forgiveness and I forgive them. All shallow-minded people, rise. Okay. Good. Okay, so we don't have any shallow-minded people. Shallow-minded people are not good. What is he talking about? You know, what are these glasses of Iqra in the name of your Lord? This is a way to understand and deal with life. Okay. Then, see, the names of Allah explain the purpose of life. Who are we? What are we doing on this earth? What is the purpose of our existence? Who is our creator? What he's expecting from us? What should we expect back from him? Where are we going after death? 6 foot underground and that's it? Where the bad guys and the good guys will be even 6 foot underground? And that's it? That's the end? The bad guys 6 foot underground get away with all these bad crimes. The good guys 6 foot underground get away with... get no reward or no thank you or no gratitude or no appreciation for their good deeds? Huh? Who? What happens to us when we go underground? Is there a maker? A creator? Are we going to meet him? Does he know about us? What's your name? Yes. Taiza? Taiza what? What's your last name? Taiza Shutru? Does Allah know that Taiza Shutru exists? Socrates says no. Socrates says Allah is too busy to know about Faiza. Who is Faiza for Allah to know about her? What's my name? Ali Zaini. Socrates says Allah is too busy to know about you. Who are you? Allah is so great that he doesn't care. We are to him like germs and ants and insects. He doesn't care about us. He can only think about himself and his greatness. And he doesn't even know that we existed. He created us and then he walked away from us. And he left us kill one another, beat up one another, left us to struggle with each other, and that's it. Huh? Socrates says that. But that is the name of Allah that says to Socrates, no, you're wrong. Al-Alim. Al-Alim, he knows about every single thing. He knows about a small, dry leaf falling from a tree in the middle of the night. Huh? Let me ask you a question. Why would Allah care to know about a small leaf falling from a tree in the middle of the jungle in the middle of the night? Why would Allah know that much details? Yes? Come here, say the answer. Love you, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, come. See, look at the deep minds. Look. How old are you, sweetheart?
I'm 10.
What's your name?
Lena.
Okay, Lena, say the answer to everybody. The question is, why would Allah care, as he said in the Quran, to know, he said that he knows the small dry leaf falling from a tree in the middle of the night, in the middle of the jungle. Why would he care to know that much detail? The answer is?
Because he did it, and so if he did it, then he should know it.
Takbir! Allahu Akbar. Have you seen a brain deeper than this brain? Ah, mashallah. How old are you again?
10.
Mashallah. I'm proud of you. Give me 5. What's your name again?
Lena.
Oh, good job, Lena. Mashallah. Ah. Yeah, of course. Duh. He's the one that made it happen. How could he make something happen without knowing about it? Excuse me. He doesn't know what he's doing or what? Of course, he made it happen, so he has to know about it. Okay, what else? Because if something does not exist in his knowledge, it will not exist in reality. For something to exist in reality, it has to exist in his knowledge first. Then it exists in reality. So this reality is nothing but a reflection of the knowledge of Allah. Just like, think of it like a movie tape. Whatever is in the movie will show on the screen. That's a simplified example. Okay, so Allah, who knows about this tree, will know about Faiza, right? Will know about Faiza, and will know about me. He is the one who's making Faiza, and he is the one who's making Faiza move. Then he has to know about Faiza. Otherwise, he doesn't know what he's doing. Socrates, you are not smart. Socrates, go take a hike. You're saying nonsense. And this is exactly what I'm coming at. Understanding life using the names of Allah. Let me now give you examples of how the names of Allah will make you see life in a totally different way. In a what? Totally different way. Than the what? Than the average one who doesn't know Allah. Look at this example. Pay attention. It's an important example. What is that example? The example of the Prophet saying, I swear by Allah that charity does not decrease the wealth. No. Hold on. No, we gotta talk. We gotta talk. That's nonsense. How could you say that the charity doesn't decrease the wealth? Here it is, man. Here it is. Here's the calculator. You have $1,000 minus $200 of charity. How much do you have? $800. Then how could you say that the charity doesn't decrease the wealth? This is my argument. Now it's a debate class. Now rebuttal. What is your argument? My argument is simple. There is something called luck. There's something called what? Luck. What is luck? If you're lucky, what happens to you if you're lucky? Okay? You walk in the street, you find $100 on the ground. Yeah. The luck is in the control of Allah. So if Allah blesses you, He will give you a lot of luck. Then you will hit every green light. You will buy the stock, and the stock price will go up. You sell another stock, and after you sell the stock, the price goes down. You open a business, your business becomes popular, and you make money. Okay? Now, if you are not blessed by Allah, and Allah makes you unlucky, what happens? You go on a trip, you hit every red light. You buy a stock, after you buy the stock, the price goes down. And then you sell a stock right after you sell the stock, the price goes up. And you say, damn, what made me sell that stock? You know? If this is all controlled by who? By Allah. If Allah likes you, He will make you lucky. So He will save you. Those $200 that you paid in a charity will save you from a car accident that could have cost you $500. They would save you from, I have an insurance. Yeah, $500 deductible. Okay. Then it will save you from a traffic ticket by a mean officer who's going to give you $400 traffic ticket. Then it will save you from a disease that will take you into the hospital and a heart surgery, and you're going to pay $30,000 for a heart surgery. Then it will make you more successful. You open a business, your business grows. All these factors are in the eyes of Allah and the hands of Allah. Now question, how come I am saying that? It's because I'm wearing what?
Glasses.
The glasses of what? Read. Read in the name of who?
Allah.
The names of Allah are telling me that He is a Shakur. What do you mean He's a Shakur? The Shakur means that He will pay you back much more than you have given. Allah is so shy. Allah shies away from having His slave more generous than Him. So Allah says, when you get something to Allah, Allah says, I swear by my glory, I will give you back this thing 10 times. You will never be more generous than me, my slave. I am an akram. I am the most generous. You get $10, wallahi, you get them back $100 or $1,000. Never be more jealous. Allah will never be more generous. Allah will never allow you to be more generous than Him. Here's one example. Another example is that also the pain. You know the pain and pleasure? Pain and pleasure. You know, people pay a lot of money to get pleasure. They go to Hawaii, they come to MCA, they go camping, pay a lot of money to get pleasure. If you worship Allah and you give to Allah, Allah will make you happy. But you don't have anything. You live in a cottage, you live in a lousy place, but you're happy. But you don't have much money, but you're happy. I mean, who cares if I don't have enough money? As long as I am happy. I am happy. I am pleased. Allah will bring happiness to your heart. You will have sweet, gorgeous life. And I'm getting a signal to end in 4 minutes. In these 4 minutes, I'll give you an example that you can't believe. An example that I myself was so shocked when I heard about. Just imagine a father and a mother. A family, father and mother, they have how many children? 12 children. How many children? 12 children. The only working member in the family is Papa, Daddy. He pays for all the expenses. Nobody else pays for the expenses except who? Papa. And Mama is just taking care of the kids. Papa, if he does not work, the kids will starve. Then suddenly, with the will of Allah, Papa died. Papa what? Died. Now Mama is what? Is alone with how many kids? 12, that she has to feed. Everybody in the town came, very sad, feeling a lot of pity, saying, oh, we feel so bad for you. You lost your husband. Who is going to provide for you and your children after your husband died? You would think that she would say, yeah, of course, I know. Help me, please. Guess what did she say? I can't believe what she said. She said, no, the one who died is the consumer. The supplier is ever living. Wallahi, Anna, I was shocked. Look how did she see things? She saw that the one who died is the consumer, is not the supplier. And the one who's alive is the supplier. Do you believe that? Say, yes, I believe that. Any questions before we end? Huh? Questions? Answers? QA? No? You got it all? My congratulations to you. Now, you have the basics that allow you how to read life using the glasses of Iqra. Glasses of what? Iqra in the name of your Lord. The names of Allah explain everything in life. Why? Because He's the maker. His nature will show up in His product. Everything in this life can be explained using the names of Allah. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Fun interactive speech. I hope you all enjoyed it. Right now, what's up next is we're going to have a Jummah prayer.